Well, hello, friends. How you doing? This is CA, your on-air personality on the iHeartRadio Network. Welcome to a special edition of Good Friday. Happy Good Friday. Today is April the 15th, 2022. Billy Graham Fridays. Today we're going to have a message here in a little while from Franklin Graham. But before I do, I want to play a song to kind of kick it off. We're going to have that, and we're going to have a Will Graham testimonial. And then we're going to get ready for Will Graham's message. So here we go, and happy Friday. And I guess before I get started, I'm not going to do the TGIF because a lot of people are off, including myself. But we're thanking God it's Friday and as we have go into Holy Weekend. But let's kick this off first here, guys. This afternoon, I'm up here at Faith Studio 1, the downtown Fort Worth iHeart Radio studio. And I'm telling you, I'm going to feel so blessed in this message on Billy Graham Fridays. Again, it's not going to be Billy Graham. There's going to be two things going on. We're going to have a testimonial from Will Graham, and we're going to have a special message, a Good Friday message at the Cove from Will Graham. Will Graham is Billy Graham's grandson. Remember, I was telling you guys, keep an eye on him because he's going to be a really good evangelist, and you're going to love his message today. So before I get that started, and I hope everybody's doing well, if you have any prayer requests, questions, comments, suggestions, gang, you can always email me here at Faith Studio 1, the iHeartRadio studio. My email address is morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. As we enter Holy Week, Good Friday, Sunday's a-coming, and we serve an awesome God. And before we get started on Will Graham's Good Friday service, special message, and you can hear this on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast show exclusively and only on our station. And guys, feel free, you can share this anytime to anybody, okay? All right, we're going to go ahead and listen to this He's going to tell the story about his grandfather. Okay, this is Will Graham.
You know, one of the most interesting things, my granddaddy had one wish in life, late in life. One wish. This is late in life. He wanted to preach one more time. Billy Graham wanted to preach one more time. And he would come to the Cove. We took his old pulpit and think of this pulpit, but you know, with a pulpit it has sides on it, you know. This is more like a lectern. But think of, you know, you got a face up front, face on the sides, and you would have this slanted board just like I have here. And and this is where he would put his Bible and his notes. We took that out and we put a 32-inch TV. And we put his notes electronically on the screen so he could read his notes, make it real big. He was having eye problems, macular degeneracy. But he wanted to preach one more time, but he came down here to the Cove a number of times to practice and practice and practice and just couldn't do it. His eyes, he still couldn't see it. And it was frustrating because he had one more sermon to preach. And all he wanted to do was to preach one more time. 3 years ago, he preached one more time. From the other side of heaven. He did it because the news were putting his sermons all over the news. For about 10 days, there was nothing but Billy Graham sermons all over the news. Just sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. He was preaching, even though he was dead physically. And this is kind of like, a little bit like my granddaddy here, in the sense that Samuel was dead, but his words were still having an impact on another generation. In other words, even at the present time, they were taking effect.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, with instinct honor, I should say. Again, this is CA on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show. We have a very special message, Good Friday message, from Will Graham. And then I'm going to close out with a great one from the great, late, his grandfather, Billy Graham, on Billy Graham Fridays. Would not be appropriate if we didn't honor Mr. Graham and the work that he has done for the Lord. And we want to reach you guys out there. And I'm telling you, 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, email me. Questions, comments, pray for me about this. morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Also, Facebook message me on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show. All right, here we go. Will Graham and the Good Friday service. Enjoy.
And now today's Good Friday, and this is the day that Jesus would die on the cross for the sins of the world. And you say, well, that don't sound too good, Will. You're right. It's kind of a mixed message, isn't it? But what's good about it is what God accomplished on the cross on this day. And that's when he paid for all the sins, my sin and your sin on the cross. And that's why we come today and to celebrate it. And so today I want to talk to you about really just one verse in the Bible. And it's found in the passage that we're going to be reading today and looking at, I should say. And so what's neat about this passage, it gives a lot of detail what took place in those final hours of Jesus's life. And what happened was that the religious leaders of his time were very jealous of Jesus. They didn't like Jesus. They were jealous of all the miracles that he was doing, the power that he spoke with. And they were scared of all the followers that were following Jesus. Matter of fact, this past Sunday, Palm Sunday, is when Jesus would come into Jerusalem, and everybody was waving palm branches. That's what we got, these palm branches down here. They were waving the palm branches and singing to him as he came in. And the religious leaders, they were quite jealous of that. And so what they did was they came up with some false charges and had Jesus arrested. And so they put him on trial. Actually, it was an illegal trial, even by the Jewish standards. It was an illegal trial. And they put Jesus on trial. And the religious leaders, they didn't like him. And they wanted him sentenced to death. And so they condemned him to be killed, but they didn't have the power to do it. So they sent him to Rome, and the Roman court, the state court. They've already had the religious court. They found him guilty, and then they bring him to the state court. And the state court was run by Rome. In this case, it was given by the judge would be Pontius Pilate. He was the head of the the Roman Empire of that particular area of the Roman Empire. He was in charge. He was the highest ranking official. And so he came and he presided over this thing. And so this is when he and Jesus would come in contact. And matter of fact, he would end up asking Jesus a number of questions. And matter of fact, these questions are pretty eye-opening, to be honest. And I've been studying these things. And there's one of them in particular that we're going to look at today, just one of his questions. Now, he would ask about 16 questions. Some of these would be directed to Jesus as he interviewed Jesus, trying to figure out what Jesus had done, worthy of death, that is. And then there's sometimes he would ask the people, the crowd there, a question. But here's all these different things. And so here they are trying to figure out what's going on. And so Jesus and Pilate, they have a conversation. Pilate is interviewing, trying to interrogate Jesus, trying to figure out what's going on, why they want Jesus killed. Why do the religious people and the crowd out there want Jesus killed? And so he starts to ask them some questions. And Jesus is talking about, Jesus said, I am a king, but my kingdom's not of this world. And he said, the truth, he starts to talk about the truth. Jesus starts to bring up, he brought up the idea of truth, because Jesus knew deep down inside Pilate's heart, that's what he was struggling with, was the one concept of truth. And he said, my people will know the truth when they hear it. And here's the famous line of Pilate, and this is the one verse that comes out, verse 38. It says, Pilate said to him, what is truth? Now, a lot of scholars believe that he was actually kind of making fun of Jesus, like, what's truth, man? What's truth? I've heard so many different stories. That's not how it was. For him, Pilate, this was the life-probing question of his life. What is truth? And he says, what's truth? Because he was talking to a man he had never met before, but he was intrigued. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he marveled greatly at Jesus. He was impressed with Jesus. There was something different about Jesus. He had never met. This man wasn't arguing for his life to go free. He wasn't acting like a madman. He was making sense. And he wasn't asking to be released. That's what had him baffled. He never met a man like this. And so when he said to Jesus, what is truth? It was a sincere question, looking and asking Jesus for help in this. Because in the next verse, he would let Jesus go. He would say, you know what? I find no fault in this man. I want to let him go. I find no fault. He's not worthy. He doesn't need to be killed. That's what he's going to say publicly. But we see that Jesus would be later scourged, almost beyond recognition, and then he would be later executed on a cross through Pilate's command. But here at this time, Pilate wants to let him go. He's impressed with Jesus. There's something different about Jesus. And that's what it says right here in the Bible. It says, you know, what is truth? He's begging Jesus, what is truth? He wants to know this, and that's what I want to talk about to you today, because there's so many misunderstandings about truth. What is really truth? And today we live in a world that everything's relative. Truth is relative. And I want to talk about that subject. What is true for me may not be true for you. We say that oftentimes. Example, if I believe that the world is flat, that's my truth. And if you say anything different, then you're intolerant, you're putting me down, you're shaming me, but you'd be infringing on my rights, especially in the world that we live, especially here in the United States. If we say, that's wrong, you're not right, then we somehow feel like you're infringing on our freedoms or something like that, when that's not the case. But I want to look at the problems. There's two major problems with relative truth. First, many have made it truth no more than an opinion. And that's what we see. We make our opinions some type of the source of truth. If it's our opinion, it's truth. That's the best pizza in the world. That's our opinion, but we want to act like it's truth. And we get our opinions and our truth mixed up when so many times we're talking about opinions. And the problem with opinions are they change like the weather. It depends on how you feel. You know, what you're going through. What do you expect? Your mood. All these things are determined on what? Your attitude sometimes. In other words, our truth changes constantly by the way that we feel. Our emotions, the way that we feel, our feelings, they dictate our opinions a lot of times. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's not truth. Our emotions and feelings, we cannot trust. We hear the phrase, follow your heart or be true to your heart. And people mean it in a good way, but it's really bad advice. The Bible says that our heart is wicked. Our emotions are wicked at times. The thoughts of our hearts are evil, the Bible says. I can't trust my heart. And if I can't trust my heart, then I can't trust it to be truth. It's my opinion, and that's fine, but I can't live my life by that. Therefore, my friends, we can't trust the heart. We can't trust it. There's problems there. And so the second one I want to talk to you about is that truth has no anchor to keep it grounded. It's up in the air with our emotions. However our emotions go, that's the way truth goes. There's nothing grounding it. And so many times we think truth is some type of concept or some type of idea. But that's not the case. The Bible says that truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, truth is not some idea, but it is a person. And that is the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the embodiment of truth. And I believe that's when Pilate looked at Jesus and he knew that something was different in Jesus. And he had to ask Jesus, what is truth? Because in his mind, it was some type of idea that you gained to as a Roman. But when he looked at the eyes of Jesus, he knew that there was something different about this man. He was like the embodiment of truth, and he realized it. But he didn't know what to do, and he became scared, especially with the crowd. And he was scared that he may be handed over for treason if they didn't kill Jesus. And so here we see that when we claim to determine what truth is, then we claim that we're the source of truth. In other words, if we say and we determine what truth is, then we're claiming that we're the source of truth. And my friends, here's the problem with that. That's exactly what Satan did. Did you know that? Satan was beautiful. He was God created him more special than all the other angels in heaven. But then he inspired to be like God, to know truth and to know all this. And he wanted to be that. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be truth. And that's when he fell from heaven. He turned his back on God. He wanted to be like God. And my friends, when we say that we're the source of truth, we're saying that we're God. What I say is true in this world. That's what we're saying. And my friends, that's wrong. It makes us like we want to be like God. That's the same thing. Satan wanted to be like God. See, my friends, truth is not an idea nor opinion. It is a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Truth is a person. So what do we do with truth? Good question. Matter of fact, it's very similar to what Pilate asked in the Bible. When he was talking to the crowd and talking to Jesus, he would turn to the crowd in the book of Matthew and say, what now shall I do with Jesus? And that's the question that you're going to have to deal with. Jesus, if Jesus is truth, what now are you going to do with truth? What now are you going to do with Jesus in your own life? My friends, Jesus is the man. He's the person who died for your sin. That's what we're celebrating here on Good Friday. When Jesus was killed, he was slain, died. He died for you and me. That's how much God loved you. And that's why it's so important that for you to understand this. God's not a God of judgment and wrath, which he is, but he's a God of love, and he wants you to be with him, but you have to come to him on his terms. So many times we're going to say, well, God, that's not what I'm going to do. It's like we want to tell God what to do. When God said, this is how you got to come to me. And my friends, he did that by dying on a cross and was in the grave for 3 days. And then on that next day, my friends, he came out of the grave. And that's what we celebrate on Sunday, Easter, when Jesus came out of the grave. Jesus loved you so much, he was willing to go to the cross and to die for you. Notice he never argued his way off the cross. That's his whole reason for coming. That was his purpose in life, was to be born, to live, and to die in your place. And that's what Jesus did. And that's what the gospel is all about. Jesus in your place, in my place, in everyone's place, for those who put their faith in Jesus. And that's what Jesus is asking you to do, to believe in him, to trust in him, and ask him for the forgiveness of sins. He's done it. He's already paid the bill. Now, I have three kids. I got three wonderful kids, and I love to give them gifts. And guess what? When I go overseas or on a trip, sometimes I'll buy them something from that area, just as a little reminder or a little token of where I've been. And so I come back and I get them a gift and I hand it to them. I don't expect them to pay for it. I've already paid for it. I give it to them as a free gift. All they have to do is to receive it, to receive it as a gift. And that's what we have to do with Jesus. Jesus has already paid the price. He's paid the debt. All we have to do is to receive the forgiveness. It's a gift. All you have to do is to receive it. How do you receive it? By faith, by believing and asking Jesus to come into your life and to forgive you of your sin. And my friends, he will. He'll give you a whole new beginning, a whole new start. But that's what today's all about. You have to. We're sinners. We deserve death. We deserve punishment, the Bible says. You and I deserve to be separated from God because we are. We went our own way. God didn't leave us. We left God. And we're separated from God. But yet Jesus died in our place. It says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, be separated from him forever, but will have eternal life in him. And my friends, that's what I'm just trying to lead you. I can't force you to do it. I can't make you do it. All I can do is tell you about Jesus. And you're going to have to make up your own mind. But I pray that you make up your mind today. Give your life to Christ. You'll never regret giving your life to Christ. I've met a lot of people in this world, and they regret not giving their life to Christ earlier. But I'm going to give you that chance right now. And if you want to do that right now, I'm going to ask you to say this prayer with me, would you? To say this prayer with me. I'm going to close my eyes and bow my head. And I just want you to say this prayer with me. Just do it out loud, all right? Just say, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin and that you raised him from the dead. I want to trust you as my Savior, and I want you to be the master of my life. Help me to live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, my friends, if you just said that prayer...
Amen. So there we go. That is the Good Friday message from Will Graham. And coming up, we're not done yet, by special request, we're going to play Billy Graham's last message, The Cross. I have literally gotten tons of emails from you guys. And you're like, CA, will you please play that? Yes, I am going to play it. It's the Holy Weekend. Just like what Bill Graham, I'm sorry, just like what Will Graham was saying. He can't make you, and as your on-air personality on iHeartRadio, I can't make you. But I will tell you, given your life to Christ, he is the olive branch to get to God. Don't miss the opportunity. My radio station and podcasting network, we are here to reach, teach, love. I can't drag you to an altar. I can't drag you to pick up the phone and call me and say, CA, will you help lead me to the Lord? And it would be an honor. You could even email me, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Give me your name. Give me your number. 24/7. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I got other ministers we can even feed that to as well. But if you want me to help you, I'll be more than glad to. I can't make you, just like Will Graham said. I cannot make you. And if you did get touched by this message, and even the next one that we're going to play on the cross with Billy Graham, his last message to America. I mean, America, wake up. Oh, wake up around the world. It's coming to an end, friends. We don't know when. Sure, Good Friday is a somber day. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine. The whips, the pellets to the back, the crown of thorns that was pushed down on Jesus' head, him being nailed to a cross. He did it all for us. He nailed C.A.'s sin to the cross, Will Graham's sin to the cross, Billy Graham's sin to the cross, yours, Julie, Richard, Jill, Ann, etc., everybody. And one day, every knee is going to bow to him, isn't they? They sure are. All right, on closeout, one more, by special request, on Billy Graham Friday's Good Friday, the afternoon version here at the Morning Brew Christian Podcast, Billy Graham's last message to America.
life is full of surprises. I never thought I would become friends with people in different countries all over the world.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
I want us to look at the cross tonight.
I see how God's hand guided me. When I began preaching many years ago, it was not with any thoughts that I'd be preaching to large audiences. In great need of a spiritual awakening. Well, there have been times that I've wept as I've gone from city to city and I've seen how far people have wandered from God. Of all the things that I've seen and heard, there's only one message that can change people's lives and hearts.
There is a way if you come by the way of the cross.
Tell people about the meaning of the cross. Not the cross that hangs on a wall or around someone's neck.
We receive our freedom purchased by the ransom at the cross.
But the real cross of Christ.
The cross expresses the great love of God.
It's scarred and bloodstained. His was a rugged cross.
His real purpose for coming was to die.
Many will react to this message, but it is the truth. And with all my heart, I want to leave you with the truth.
God says, I love you. I love you. I love you with everlasting love.
And he loves you, willing to forgive you of all your sins. The cross is offensive because it confronts people. Even so, it's a confrontation that all of us must face. I look out across an audience when I stand up to preach, and I think of all the people with their different backgrounds and their various needs. And I know that they are objects of God's mighty love, to the point that he gave his son, his only son, to die upon a cross. And the cross was the most terrible form of execution by the Romans for criminals. And Jesus endured all that in our place because of our sins. We deserve the cross. We deserve hell. We deserve judgment and all that that means. I know that there are many people that dispute that. People don't want to hear that they're sinners. To many people, it's an offense. The cross is offensive because it directly confronts the evils which dominate so much of this world. One reason that cross is an offense to people is because it demands, doesn't suggest, it demands a new lifestyle in all of us. Sin is a disease in the human heart. It affects the mind and the will and the emotions. Every part of our being is affected by this disease. How can we break this bondage? How can we be set free? God helps us break those chains. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Everything becomes new. He can make you a totally new person. On that cross, God was laying on Jesus, our sins. They not only put nails in his hands, but before that, they had scourged him. A Roman scourge was a terrible thing. They took whips and pellets on those whips and beat a person almost to death. took that cross and made him carry the cross, which was in his weakened condition, was almost impossible. But he carried that cross to a place outside of Jerusalem. And then they put nails in his hands. But that was not the real suffering. The real suffering is when he said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In that terrible moment, he and God the Father were separated. He shed his blood, and the shedding of that blood carries with it God's very life. There is no other way of salvation except through the cross of Christ. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." The only way to the Father, Father God, is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, why Jesus? He's the only one that was born into this world without sin. But more than that, he was a righteous one. And when you come to him, you're clothed in his righteousness. God no longer sees your sin. He no longer sees your own heart. He sees Jesus. When you come to Christ, you come by the way of repentance. Repent means to change. Change your way of living and turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ and say, "I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. And I know that you're the only one that can change me." Today, I'm asking you to put your trust in Christ. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer, sentence by sentence, after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you've died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins. I repent of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
He's alive. I've given my life not to a dead Christ, but to a living Christ. And he's given me a song to sing. He's given me a flag to follow.
Amen. All right, there we go. Billy Graham's last message to America. And I thank you all for listening. I've been up here at Faith Studio 1, the iHeartRadio studio in downtown Fort Worth this afternoon on a very warm day, as I've done a lot of reflections myself to Good Friday. And it is a somber day. But you know what? A Sunday's a-coming. You hear me? A Sunday's a-coming. Because he's risen. Join me. I know you're going to get ready to go to early morning service like I am for Sunday morning praise, entitled, "He is Risen." Going to have one of the most uplifting musical songs by music artists. This will be pre-taped. I won't be live at Faith Studio 1. But I hope, friends, you get a chance to listen to it. And share this podcast with anybody that wants to know about Jesus Christ. Please don't wait till the last minute. Heaven forbid something happened to you. That's why I keep being the arms and feet for Jesus and other people too as well. You see, I'm not after numbers. I just want to help. I want to be an ambassador for the Lord. So my question to you is God speaking in your heart? Is Christ talking to you, saying, come on, let me in, let me in. Don't wait. Let's lead off in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you do. I know today being a somber day, Good Friday. Thank you for the message that Brother Will Graham, Billy Graham's grandson, had preached out today from the Cove in North Carolina. Lord, what an awesome brother in Christ and evangelist, one of the greatest evangelists at all time, Billy Graham. And we thank you, Father God, this week, off and on, we've been playing his messages about the cross, about the personal invitation that his grandson Will Graham gave and that Billy Graham gave and CA has given. And may it reach and touch somebody out there. And if somebody doesn't know you, may they be reached by a neighbor, a pastor friend, or whoever it may be. We Christians want to be the arms and the feet for you. And we love you, Jesus. Every day is about you. Thank you for almost 50 years of being in my heart. I can't even imagine an imperfect person like me. How you say, come home, my son, come home. Come home and let me take care of you. I put all my faith and all my hope and all my trust in you, as many other Christians do all across America. And we give all of this to you in Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Okay, friends, this is CA going to saddle up and leave Faith Studio 1 this afternoon. In fact, not this morning, this afternoon here at the iHeartRadio studio in beautiful downtown Fort Worth at the tower, actually. A lot of people out eating right now. So, again, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Also, like me on my Facebook page, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. And again, share this message anytime. Y'all have a great day, and we will catch you on Sunday. Bye for now.